Dreaming of
Yes. Dreaming of a white Christmas, happy Thanksgiving, the day after. Black Friday for some, but that seems to be a bit racist. I'm not sure. So welcome to RLMRadio.xyz, and I'm your host, Vince Easley, the second Vincent Easley. Yeah, the one of the many Vinnies I may be. And of course, I'll expect a phone call at any moment, right? Let's wind in here. Before we actually break into to the show's topics, plural, Hans, I'm gonna after I come and copy and paste, I'm gonna try to address a few things. Here, let me drop this in here. Hi, Chloe. Now let's see, where do I start? Where indeed? Let me that's not scary Mary. That's a merry, very merry Christmas. Merry, merry, not so scary. How is your Christmas plans? All right. Again, right off the tracks. Oh, yes, indeed. And look, hey, welcome everybody to today's broadcast. This is feedback. This is a episode plus one, The Rules of War Betrayed, RLMRadio.xyz. This is Friday at noon Central, 12 p.m., and it is the 25th of November. So we've got a month of Christmas music. Woohoo! Yeah, there's only one Veezer. Oh, geezer, I am. So thanks, Uff, or as known as Shlomo Burger over here in the chat, RLMRadio.xyz. So listen, consider the next 14, 16 odd minutes as warm up for the broadcast, and I'm going to try to talk some without so much taco typo. And I'll say how to do to everybody over here in chat listening live as Mo's up on top as he would normally find him, followed by our bestest bot barman. There's Beth Z, who I frustrated to no end this morning. Sorry, dear. Cowboy Tech, he's awesome. And there's the great Grimner. Kate, how to do? Beetle! Chalcedony Circolo from our great Dane from over yonder across the water. And there's Chloe a couple of times. Graham's at work. Ivy Dawn is at work as well. Java Doctor, too, is here. We've got a RLM and on. Rob works, myself as Vin E. And then there's Vin E RLM Radio. That's the working man, me. Becky, I'm so glad you made it. Colfax, Frumpy. Frumpy, you're a great help. I really appreciate you. I think you have a great mind. I wish you had like a blog site or something, and you were putting stuff together for my little mind here. Jehovah One, I think, is a bot that might be. He might be working for God, and he might be working for the devil. Wanna Taco, one of our favorites, and Kuzu, he is not a bot. Pardon the confusion. Carl One, but there's Bot, I would say is probably a bot, and Shlomo Burger. Thanks for jumping in over here from UCY. Let me just pop over there and say, hey. Hey. I said, hey. Should I spell it HAY? I'm doing it. If you want to listen. So if I can steal from Mr. William Roberts, the late Will Roberts of Vocal Local. Hey, Joe. I appreciate it. So anyways, I've gone over to do a little poaching, I guess you might call it. But hey, not really. I consider myself a side by side, UCY.TV and reallibertymedia.com. We're for the bulk of my thoughts go to and come from, right? So, distracted again. Let me come back. Thanks, Frumby. Thank you. Grooner face palming, according to Frumpy. Okay. Now, let me start with Beth before I run out of time. Beth, you'd shared that link with Stephen Molyneux about appointing Clive and Bundy to head the Bureau of Land Management. And I agree with Frumpy. I believe Stefan, I guess his name is was being a bit tongue in cheek. And let me just say this: Clive and Bundy has problem with the authority of the BLM, as would I, because they're not really legit in their operations. They're supposed to manage the land or be the managing agency for the rights that are, you know, whether it be grazing rights, any of the surface rights, water rights, and so forth. That it would be an exercise in futility were Clive and Bundy to take that on. Now, I understand, I do, that how if we were to go about getting, you know, in positions of in these seats of authority and these seats of power and in effect change. But I just don't see that Clive and Bundy would subjugate himself to that. I just don't. And I think really in do the tongue in cheek from Stefan, it would be that fake news that the Bundys were going to be pardoned. This would be Trump's first act as president. You know what? He's not even actually president-elect until the Electoral College, you know, makes it official. And I guess Jill Stein's calling for some recounts and la-di-da. And here I am reading in the chat, distracting myself, but I'm trying to stay caught up here with you. So, yeah, all in all, nah. Not so much, but I do get your point, Miss Beth. Uh-oh, dead air? Can you hear me now? I assume that you are. My indicators are that I am playing through here. So then I want to go over and talk some about the other night with Hans and now our Anon UK. I think he Foxfires is his call sign, but being as modest as he was, I think he was going with Foxy Fox Fox. So I'm looking here, Beth. Yeah, so you are hearing me, I guess. Yeah, so Beth says, look, before I go to that, then let me finish up with her. So let him take over and do nothing, issue solved, and he couldn't even disband it. No, he couldn't disband it because he would not have that authority. Ever considered that, she asked me, versus using their legal system to take them on and to disband their own agency. Yeah, I get the conundrum. Don't think I don't. Thank you, RLM 9164. I am on. The entire thing continues, Beth, is on her sharing the link was to put a smile on your face. You did. Oh, so now you're going to mute me. Well, you know, that's going to go on to into today's broadcast. So go ahead and mute up. That's nobody wants to suffer your ears. No, of course I'm not unbiased. Of course I'm not biased. Unbiased. Everybody's biased. Thank you, Grams. I'm streaming. Be sure to flush. Yeah, certainly. But again, this is part of my this is my fault that I am frustrated by your frustration, and I gotta say. Yeah, it's frustrating. And maybe I'm not even doing a good enough job of talking as I did a typing. But anyways, I had a smile on my face. And it doesn't, hey, Captain, welcome over, brother. That doesn't mean that I don't understand what your point was. But I guess you still don't understand my point. But I'm going to move on. .org. Maybe I ought to start a moveon.org or something like that. Oh, to deal with such issues as these. No, I'm not assuming nothing. You say I'm assuming your reason to be other than intended. No, I don't. But I know that, she says, now I know you're biased. Of course I'm biased. I understand why you say why. Fine, done. Still muted, so move on if you're directing it at me. Your loss. Whatever. I ain't here to prove nothing to you, Beth. And since you ain't listening, whatever. Whatever, whatever. I sidetracked myself a whole hour and a half. I didn't finish my preparations as usual. But anyways, I don't even know why I'm bothering. For real? Come on. I guess I'll piss myself off here. Ha, 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 ha. Ah, aha, aha, aha. Whatever. So anyways, I said I was moving on. Let's do it. Hans Dredd, Jay Dredd, our very friendly and most wonderful interlooper here. talking about anarchy, communism, anarchy, capitalist, all these titles and stuff. So if you would feel more comfortable that I hung some type of title on myself, I will do that now, and I will call myself the Mini Vinnies, okay? So, yeah, thank you, Grams. But let's talk about this. So we went on for a good 2 hours of trying to discuss what the difference is. And let me just, without going back to look at it, what was said, let me just try to surmise this. And I'm going to run right up into the 420 report and not even be have it done. Welcome, Flash. I'm glad you made it, brother. So, listen, you made mention of something about how would these things be instituted, and how would who would be responsible for instituting a system of anarcho government? Well, let me see if I can explain. First of all, anarcho communism. Okay, anarchy means no rulers. How? I know you have some frustration with this as well, but no rulers means that there's no place for government to be able to come along and tell somebody they can't do something that is not harming anybody, whether it be smoking weed or engaging in prostitution or whatever. Hey, there's Sondra Hunt has commented on my post on Facebook. But listen. Let me not sidetrack myself. I'll catch up with you, Sondra, if you're listening. And Grimner says he's an anarcho capitalist. Well, none of these are exclusive. The anarchy part, nobody making rules over you that says what you can't do. When that doesn't mean that if you do something that is wrong, that somebody, you're not going to have repercussions from this. Okay. Capitalism can be included into the communism part, which the communism is just meaning that people are in a cooperative agreement in what they are engaged in together, right? It doesn't mean a government. And Will Durant says, after liberty is established, and I think this is in my notes, after liberty is established, then anarchy comes in and ruins the day. Yes. she sees a lot of confusion on logic. Yeah, I agree. And she is willing to do some action, but not alone yet. See. Hey, Hunt, welcome. I see you did join in, and I saw that you did make a comment, and I can't jump over there just as yet. Captain Gringo fell out. Hot Flash again. So Hans, the idea is not a system; it is a way of thinking, right? Anarcho-communism or anarcho-capitalism. Yes, it's okay to have property. You can be a communist, and I know these words are confusing you, but you can be a communist or somebody that acts within a community in agreement, all right? So the idea of having to have a government to tell people what they can do, yeah, we've missed the whole point. And that's the misunderstanding of anarchy and the anarcho-communism, the anarcho-capitalism. You can own property and, you know, have your own stuff, but you can also have things that are shared together. All right. So that many years ago, there was a lot of co-ops out through the countries, you know, countryside, where folks would have the ability to, you know, use a tractor. Say they got decided to go to the back 40 and they're going to break new ground. And, well, they've got a team of mules and their plow, and, you know, that works fine in their established fields, but maybe you need a tractor. Maybe you need a bulldozer, push some trees out instead of, you know, you can't get dynamite no more to blow stumps. So whatever, and I'm not sure, since it took 2 hours to say all we did the other night, that this is even going to mean anything to you at all. But it's not government. Anarcho-communism is not a government. So it's not oxymoronic, which I like the word, maybe oxymorophic, be more off than more on. Flash says defining words is different than listening to stories. Hey, Dal, welcome, brother. And welcome, welcome, welcome. And Frumpy says I'm right. And I'm not sure what I'm right about. oh, okay. Gotcha. Anarchism. Perfect. Thank you, Grim. And that cup is cold. All right. We're a couple of minutes away, and I never did find it. But we'll give it a wind up. We're a minute away from the 420 report. It is a dry 420 report, but this comes from the book about Forrest Gump and how different it is from the movie. If you're on the effing side over here, Freedoms Network, you'll find I posted the link for the audio book and, what is blowing stumps? Grimner says, blowing up stumps with dynamite. I know you've been a little cheeky there. That was pardon the pun. Okay. But anyways, the 420 report is as follows. Forrest Gump smokes weed, dude. Him and Jenny were in a band. The bus Forrest bought was for them to tour. And that was back in the end of the 60s. It was undoubtedly the type of music of Woody or Arlo Guthrie or Woody Guthrie. Which one is it? Yeah. Ain't they related? Anyway, so dude turns on Forrest to some smoke, right? He says, here, man, try some of this, man. And Forrest says, I don't smoke cigarettes. And old boy says, turn on, man. Basically, he said, this ain't your regular cigarette. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Forrest Gump said he got his mind expanded. And Jenny, she was very much like him, Forrest, to be smoking the weed, the devil's lettuce, man. But that's all he did, because he found out, this the other old boy told him, that it was a sexual enhancement as well. And so all he wanted to do was play his, or take it, what he calls taking a ride on his harmonica, and have sex all day and smoke dope, weed, marijuana, cannabis. Yeah, Otto blew through. Dal Nick is down in Nicaragua. He is a one of our many Canadian listeners over, and I'm going to say that with the English accent. How do you talk Canadian, eh? Descent to French on anglais. But Dal's down in Nicaragua. He's a Canadian. And thank you for coming over, Nick. Dal Nick. So the 420 report is Forrest Gump is weed head, man. But Jenny made him quit smoking marijuana. Now, this is going to be out of place, but I think I want to go ahead and I want to put it in. And this is how I'm going to, well, I guess I'll intro First of all, this is feedback episode one, or plus one. Make that episode plus one. So it is the Rules of War Betrayed. RLMradio.xyz. This is Friday at 12 p.m., 1222 now, on the 25th of November. So I've got a 12-point outline here. All these are just one topic is one topic, Hans Dredd. One is what matters is worldwide. Number two is character matters, ours and others. Number three, a voyage of self-discovery. Four being rules of engagement, dance or duel. Five, the fight, right or might, yours or mine. Six, draw the line, toe the mark. All right, so we're stepping up for the fight, right? Number seven, withdraw, surrender, retreaty. And again, I'll say it again, that retreaty, the MASH word of retreat and treaty, followed, of course, by concur, number eight. Conquered or conceded, the best of the greater good, more or less, is number nine. Number 10, the self and selfless, the object of abject lessons. Number 11 is a great controversy. And 12, expected peace, settlement at last. So, and the ad rest is for Phyllis Sinclair and what has been my mantra of in what matters worldwide. And just do a search for that, Phyllis Sinclair at last. But I will have it actually down here in my unscripted script, which will be as followed, you know, directly. Wrong one. Over here. Okay. What am I ready for this? I guess I might as well be. I feel like I was forgetting something. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am forgetting. And this is from from my post over at the FN Network at freedomsnetwork.com. Occupation by trespass in protest is the role of the American way. Think about it. Occupation by trespass. Well, who fought in the I'll have to come over to chat and check your answers before I give the answer. Who fought in the American Revolution? Who were the parties? And I'll give you a hint just so you don't make yourself look as stupid as me or anybody else. It's not Americans versus the English. All right. So think about that. Think about that. And then we'll maybe come back and kick that dog a little bit. All right. So what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about this occupation by trespass in protest as being the American way, what I'm talking about, which I won't be so much talking about, but the alluding to, I'm talking about the Bundys and the death of Lavoie Finicum. I'm also talking about the First Patriots and the rebellion against the crown. Goes back to that. Who were the parties in the revolution? I'm also talking about Rosa Parks. I'm talking about Standing Rock and on in what truly makes America great. Not G-R-A-T-E, as Trump would have it, but truly great, G-R-E-A-T. Where did we come from? Who are we as a people? I'm talking about why I am thankful to live in America. Talking about why it's never okay for the government to take up arms against Americans in a peaceful protest. I'm talking about how legal is corrupted as it's construed as law, codified corruption in cronyism. I'm talking about government as the servant to the people and not its master. I'm talking because when the future asks who spoke up, it will be you and me and everyone else that will have given the answer, be it voiced or by silence. Oh, yeah. Treaties, there are several. We're retreating. So, Cowboy Tech, thank you. Large subject, you say. I hope you make it sound simple. I doubt that to be. And my response to that is I'll be the best idiot I can be. All part of the plan, I think. But you know what's said of mice and men? How theirs is best laid. Right. Okay. So 30 minutes in, and I think I must be doing well because I'm I almost got myself patterned here, as Hal does. Except for my tabs are all part of, well, I don't know. Let's just start. Number one, what matters is worldwide. Well, let me go back to chat just for a moment. Okay, who said Americans and the British, as far as who was involved in the American Revolution? Oh, boy, there's a lot here. I've got way behind. So jobs, jobs, jobs. That's, you know, okay. All right. Well, I probably ain't going to be able to do justice and dig to chat. Let me go to the broadcast. Let's go to the content of my scripted, unscripted script. What matters is worldwide. A wink and a nod, all part of the show. A part and party and pardon bestowed to those in the know. At least not forget. Not a guess, not a maybe. The crowd bows low. So what matters is worldwide? Boy, there's a lot of matters to consider. And hopefully I'll be able to address this some in the following. Character matters, ours and others. Historically, it's mostly guessing. The rest is prejudiced. History offers some consolation by reminding us that sin has flourished in every age. We forget to make ourselves intelligent. We forgot to make ourselves intelligent when we made ourselves sovereign. Optimistic to the end. Will Durant. Pause. Back to chat. Somebody ping me here. Chloe. I am a goof. Yes, thank you. thank you, Becky. 11 goof. Okay, so let's go back after Will Durant. So it's not easy to admit a mistake, persevere during tough times, or follow through on every promise made. It's not always comfortable to convey the hard truth or stand up for your beliefs. In the short term, it may not be beneficial to do right by, and they say customers, but it's because I'm the paraphrase plagiarist. I'm taking this out of context to add to my content. So to put people before profits or to distance yourself from a questionable relationship, but in the long run, do the right thing is the clear path to both success and happiness. Moral character matters. And that's from Frank's honor. I'll have all the links and stuff together. but what we're talking about there is, and let me grab this because I did not end up typing this into my notes, but from my handwritten notes. So let's back up here just a moment. This idea of our character and how it makes us who we are and the idea of what we're doing or others are doing, there's a lot behind the scenes, right? The stalking horses. So there's the stalking horse, point and shoot. The riches of, the rules of engagement, some might say, if you've not been first shot from undercover, then you might have a chance behind the false front. So since I didn't go through and reorder this stuff, it's going to come out jumbled just like most of my thoughts. Okay. So draw the line, toe the mark, the fight, right or might, a dance or a duel, withdraw, surrender, retreaty, concur. Conquered, or conceited, the best of the greater good, more or less, the self and selfless, the object, the abject lesson. We're going to come to that a little more. Right and wrong, the end justifies the means, is more or less what's being said here. Right? How little, how long, how deep below, even I an iota, be it looted. Oh, man. Be it bloated as a tittle's tell, tales told. All in good time, marked in space. Not a righteous meaning, is it? So this content, this little bitty bit, and this goes back to this problem this morning of trying to be understood. God, it's hard, ain't it? To make yourself be understood, to understand others, because we're so prejudiced in our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own perception of what the hell it is. Is there right and wrong? Test the ends, justify the means. It's less more when we're taking score. How little, how long, how deep down below. Every iota's shown bloated were the tittle's tales told. Were the tittle's tales told. All in good time is not righteous measure. Any wrong of any proportion shows error for distortion. Every little bitty, no matter how small, does not stand to replace good overall. Does it? All in good time. Which doesn't mean that the times necessarily have to be good. The problem associated with disturbed characters, and this is pretty far reaching in a sense. We're all somehow disturbed, if not disturbing. So the problem associated with disturbed characters might be so easy. I almost said easily. It might be so ingrained that they occur automatically, but the disordered character is fully conscious of them. He knows exactly what's going on, what he's doing, why he's doing it, and even why others consider his behaviors problematic. Lying is one of the more common of the problem behaviors. Sometimes the disordered character lies so automatically that he lies even when the truth would have done just fine. And that's situation, that's perception, management. It's the setup to get you to fall in what's about to be said. So it's easily identified by me, I think, most times. So that doesn't mean he doesn't know he's lying. He knows. He just does it so often and readily that he does it without even thinking about it. Dr. George Simon. I think I skipped myself a little bit. Yeah, I did. But anyways, I'll back up. But in the long run, doing the right thing is the clear path to both success and happiness. Moral character matters. And then Dr. George Simon broadcasts 6 p.m. UCY.TV on Sundays. Dr. George Simon .com. Also, just do a search for Dr. George Simon. You'll find several of his websites. Very, very intelligent man, I think. We might come back around towards the end and go back and talk about the news of Standing Rock and what's going on in Bunkerville. I'm sorry, from the actions in Bunkerville. But let me just move on. Number three, a voyage of self-discovery. Painting is poetry that is seen rather than felt, and poetry is painting that is felt rather than seen. Leonardo da Vinci said that, and thank you, Dorsum Artis from South America. Reality is a shared hallucination, says Howard Bloom. For you, my good friend, Flash, and I did share this with him earlier in the week as I was, excuse me, give me just a second, as I was preparing my scripted, unscripted script for this week. So, being this shared illusion, being here is kind of a spiritual surrender. We see only what others see, the thousands who were here in the past, those who will come in the future. We've agreed to be part of a collective perception. Don de Lilo. We're accustomed to use our eyes only with the memory of what other people before us have thought about the object we are looking at. That is from Guy de Maupassant. I'm assuming that he's a Frenchman. After all, what is reality anyways? Nothing but a collective hunch, says Lily Tomlin. Don't freeze up on me. There. I guess I have to click. The artificial construction of reality was to play a key role in the new form of global intelligence, which would soon emerge among human beings if the group brain psyche were a breach with shifting dunes and hollows. Individual perception would be the beach's grains of sand. However, this image has been hidden, has a hidden twist. Individual perception, untainted by others' influence, does not exist. A central rule of large-scale organization goes like this. The greater the spryness of a massive enterprise, the more internal communication it takes to support the teamwork of its parts. One, for example, in all but the simplest plants and animals, only 5% of DNA is dedicated to DNA's real job, manufacturing proteins. The remaining 95% is preoccupied with organization and administration, supervising the maintenance of bodily procedures, or even merely interpreting the corporate rule book printed in a string of genes. Three is in an effective learning machine, the connections deep inside far outnumber windows to the outside world. Take the cerebral cortex. And pause, pardon me while I pause first, girl. roughly 80% of who, let me back up. The connections deep inside far outnumber windows to the outside world. Take the cerebral cortex. Roughly 80% of those nerves connect with each other, not with input from the eyes or ears. Four, the learning device called human society follows the same rules. Individuals spend most of their time communicating with each other, not exploring such ubiquitous elements of their environment as insects and weeds, which could potentially make a nourishing dish, right? So number five, this cabling for the group's internal operations has a far greater impact on what we see and hear than many psychological researchers suspect, for it puts us in the hands of a conformity enforcer whose power and subtlety are almost beyond belief. From a global brain, the evolution of mass mind from the Big Bang to the 21st century by Howard Bloom, copyright in 2000, and from the article I got it, a PDF was that was reprinted there by permission from John Wiley and Sons. I didn't ask for permission because I'm being a commentator. All right. Let's go to four. Rules of engagement. Dance or duel. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Nathan Frazier says that we should seek common values or common villains. And here we go. The know-it-all knows it best. Don't we all? Admit when you're wrong. Whoops. You're right, I'm an idiot. The fact is, I'm never as smart as I think I am. Approaching conversations with a little more humility helps tone down the accidental tone deafness of a typical know-it-all. Anybody? Thank you, Larry Woods, sharing the post. Anybody feel like something stuck? I know I do. Yeah, if you're trying to change someone else's behavior, there's a big chance you're wrong. Speaking of correcting someone, chances are that if you're the type to correct someone else, you're also wrong a lot. Nobody likes to admit when they're wrong, but the smarter you think you are, the more often you're wrong. It just comes with the territory, so get used to admitting it. Life hacker. Now, God, couldn't we talk about that? But I'm afraid I knocked the walls down in this glass house. So let me just let's take a look at this. Now, the zombie genre, man, it's pretty much I like it. Okay, and there's many aspects of that of why, because boy, don't we deal with zombies on a daily basis? But I'm being a little fair, I guess. War is horror. The living dead enter the zombie. The post 9/11 aesthetic, repositioning the zombie film in the horror genre, from Alan Edward Green Jr. The abstract is as follows. The dissertation explores a body of films produced after the events of 9/11, and while examining the specific point of departure, the author presents the argument on the vast cultural relevancy of the omnipresent zombie. These films are interrogative and complex, offering the viewing audience a rich tapestry of interwoven meanings. Furthermore, the author suggests that the zombie trope has, in fact, left the genre altogether, reinserting into a style of films he labels as non-zombie appropriation. This is frustrating. Why it's not scrolling with my, I got to do it manually. Okay. Where'd it go? Chapter one. Chapter one introduces the zombie genre as both part of the large horror genre aesthetic and its own legitimate subgenre. The zombie has a rich cinematic history going back more than seven decades. Heretofore, the last decade continues to see an unabated release of the viewing world's favorite creature. Ha. Chapter 2 examines 28 Days Later and the sequel 28 Weeks Later as critical films functioning as work that refocuses the zombie for the 21st century. And no serious discussion of filmic zombies can occur without the immeasurable significance of George A. Romero. Boy, my notes are atrocious. Chapter 3 concentrates on the auteur reclaiming a genre he helped to invent with his film Land of the Dead and Diary of the Dead. These two works show a director that refuses to rest on his laurels by encoding these films with rich post 9/11 concerns. In chapter 4, the examination of the disparate films Equilibrium and The Happening discuss the utilization of non-zombie appropriation films with no discernible zombies, but for all intent and purpose intimate that specific narrative. By way of conclusion, chapter 5 continues the non-zombie trope with the abstract and indeed postmodern. They come back. The chapter ends with a broadening of the context with other concerns for the argument. The dissertation should be of interest to both horror scholarship in general and zombie films in particular. It aims to provide a sophisticated reading, a significant body of works, and to add to the ongoing and critical legitimization of this important style of cinematic artistry. Chapter 1, The Introduction. Like the archaic man, the zombies universe is a mythic, mysterious, and uncivilized one, bordering ours with its own unique codes of discipline that are impossible to comprehend with human logic. James F. Lacino, that's a psychological reflection of a cinematographic cinematic terror. The horror of the zombie movies comes from recognizing the human in the monster. Ain't we all? The terror of the zombie movie comes from knowing there is nothing to do about it, but destroys what is left. Kyle Bishop, Raising the Dead. Zombies are everywhere. At present, they are the shambling horde still moving with deliberate slowness, or more times than not, in a hyper-accelerated pace. Those are scary. Fast zombies, man. That was just like, that blew the whole thing out of the water, didn't it? That post-11, or as we continue, of the post-9/11 world. Their cultural currency has no equal in terms of the monsters that haunt people's nightmares. Or as Jake Horsley successively writes, the horror film's most basic function is to threaten us. Consequently, it can and must, with more disturbing, subversive, dangerous, and hence repressed ideas in our culture or our society. Echoing Horsley, Paul Wells espouses in the horror genre that a major theme of the horror genre is therefore the expression of the ways in which individuals try to maintain control of their lives in the face of profound disruptions, which only comment on the frailties and the brutalities of the status quo and its habitual norms. From scholarcommons.usf. Again, I had intended on pressing this this morning, but and I think I'm actually on my wrong edit right here, as I might tell from how jumbled this is. But I'll bring all this together, all these links where you can take a look for yourself. So I'll continue. Graduate thesis and dissertations, graduate school, January 2013, University of South Florida. So A.E. Green at mail.usf.edu. Follow this and additional works at scholarcommons.usf.edu. Part of the Film and Media Studies Commons, this dissertation is brought to you for free and open access by the Graduate School of Scholar Commons, and it has been accepted for inclusion in graduate theses and dissertations by an authorized administrator of Scholar Commons. So if you want to contact them, scholarcommons@usf.edu. And that is on the post-9/11 aesthetic repositioning in the zombie film in the horror genre by Alan Edward Green Jr. Number five coming up will be The Fight. Right or might, yours or mine. But how about I take a moment and pause? Okay, so back to it. The Fight, right or might, yours or mine. The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid for it. And one path we shall never close, and that is a path of surrender or submission. John F. Kennedy. Now, I have in this a photo. This came from Jason Patrick. And he says he might frame this quote with this picture. And that is from Anne Baring. She says, for a rapidly increasing number of us, there is the possibility of choosing whether to follow in the tracks of the past, continuing to live our lives in the servitude to the power principle and the institutions which embody it, however subtly expressed, or to live and act from a different relationship with life and commitment, and commit ourselves to the immense effort of consciousness we need to make to understand and serve its mystery. Indeed. All right, that cigarette's out. Number six, draw the line and toe the mark. So this comes short, but it is the Looney Tunes. It is the apex of animation. Is there right and wrong? Were the ends justified in means? It is less more when one counts the score. How little, how low, how deep down below. Every iota shown bloated were the tittle's tales told. All in good time has no right measure. Wrong in any portion shows error's distortion. Every little bitty, great and grand, yet minusculely small, does not stand up to replace the good overall. After all, from yours truly. Withdraw, surrender, or retreaty. So I didn't get a chance to complete that thought. But I do say there that education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. Yes, I am one proud idiot. Thank you again, Will Durant. Will Durant, if you don't know who he is, he wrote a lot of history books. to which you may or may not concede. But anyways, that is number eight, concur, conquered or conceded. Judge who is sovereign in nature. Testimony to the defense. Sometimes it's the smallest of things that brings success. And I forgot where I got that one, so I just attribute it to the paraphrase plagiarist. Every form of government tends to perish by excess of its basic principle. Will Durant. Will mindfulness disengage me from world problems? When I went to a mindfulness meditation course some years ago, I remember this concern came up a lot in the class. People had asked, isn't it a cop-out to focus inward when there are so many problems in the world that need attention? Or won't mindfulness make me tune out the sufferings of others? Well, what the science says about the mindfulness and its impact on engagement with the world. First, it's really important, legitimate, and an obvious question, he says. But if you think of examples of this, mindful people in disengaging from the world, they are incredibly rare. Actually, as we tune more into ourselves, we become more able to tune into other people from the greater good. And you know what? I really think that I'm in the wrong edit here. So allow me a moment to pause. All right, so we're paused there, and I'm going to find what it is I was supposed to be looking for. One of these is going to contain it. Then I'll have to open it here and then go back and open up. I guess I better open the other machine on my slave over there. I'll have to open it here and then I'll go find it in the history over there. And everything's going to freeze up while I do it. Of course. Yeah. We almost ran through it. Why did that happen? See, I hate you, Facebook. That's really just going to probably screw my whole thing up here, isn't it? Was I rude to that feller? Or not rude enough? See, I might have been talking about some of these lessons and may not have learned them for myself. I found it. So I'm going to open what I was looking for. The best of the good, more or less. So there were some, perhaps the object would be some abject lessons or object lessons in objectively. And what I'm going to have to do, well, let that play just for a minute so I can get it in my history. And this is Dead City audiobook, Dead World by Joe McKinney. And once this is sufficiently open enough that I know it goes back into my history, I'll go back over here, open YouTube on this one. And it's cycling over here, so let's give it a minute. Is that the same one? No, that's Dead City, that one. Watch it again. The Apocalypse Fugitives, The Undead World Part 4. By Peter Meredith. Some of my previous audio listens. Okay, there it is. It's opened up. All right, so I'll stop it now, and let's see if it comes up into my history right here. Let me open that on the other machine. Of course it's not. Yes, it is. There it is. Good, good, good. So I'll open that. You're going to hear, and I'm not putting this on the recording because I don't want any copyright claims.
This is Audible.
But
Dead City
go back.
By Joe and McKinney.
It is at 2 hours, by Michael minutes, Kramer. 6 minutes in. We're going to run it
copyright 2006, 2010
so we're going to run over a little bit
by
today. Play that, and I'll come back in. And
this unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Joe McKinney and Kensington Publishing Corporation. And was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media.
All right, I'm starting at 2:29:29.
Pick up Carlos's family and then
listen
my family.
Listen up, and I'll be back.
Nowhere else. That's fine, he said. Just as long as I don't have to get boxed in somewhere. Suit yourself, I said, and waited with the truck in gear for him to climb in. He wrinkled his nose at the smell and had to push his glasses back up. This is the station commander's truck? Yep, I said, and peeled out of the parking lot. He held onto the door as we turned onto the road. You'd think a high-ranking firefighter like a station commander could afford something better than this. He was bouncing all over the seat. It runs, I said. That's all that counts. Carlos's address was on the near west side. It was pretty close to downtown, but still on the west side of Jewett Street, which serves as the boundary line between the west and downtown divisions. Most of the neighborhoods west of Jewett were rough, but the families there tried to keep their homes in good shape. They mowed their grass and planted trees and had contracts with termite companies. But the people on the east side of Jewett had given up a long time ago. In the old days...
Okay, so... Dadgum, there was some of it, and I'm afraid I've recorded in there. Some people, and I will be the perfect example for failed lessons here in my whole presentation and approach. People piss me off sometimes, and sometimes it shows. No consideration. People assume that they're the center of the freaking world. And going back to the very beginning of this morning, don't be so self-absorbed to think that, you probably ain't listening anyway. She says she's muting. So now that I'm pissed off, let me just be pissed off because I'm an idiot. I'm a stupid idiot. I ain't afraid to admit it. I'm an idiot. Maybe not as big an idiot as you are, you know. So here we are. People don't give a crap. All they want is what they think that they set the rules. People that want to consider anarchy some kind of system or a non-system or that means that you do whatever the hell you want to do, you're not getting the idea. Don't try to presume to think for me or assume that your assumption leaves me without understanding. Yeah, I admit I'm an idiot. Freaking proud idiot. And when you don't think that you're an idiot, that makes you the biggest idiot of all. Now, well, here's a little rant. I don't never rant. Usually I keep a little more self-control. But you know what? Sometimes I get pissed off, and sometimes I don't always show it. And sometimes I hit, yeah, I'm not, one of my rules is not be cussing, but I hit a MF-er in the mouth. Nothing matters but what you think matters. What does matter? What matters is worldwide. It's not egocentric. It is, you're not the center of the world. Get over it. Get over yourself. Better, and here I am breaking all my rules and all the examples that I put forth. Get over yourself. World ain't here to serve you. And you're not necessarily here to have to serve the world. This goes into these lessons of stakeholder and stockholder, the stalking horse, hiding behind the facade. Won't you get over it? Get over yourself. You don't want to be part of the solution. You're part of the problem. Okay? You know, I try not to let myself respond emotionally, because that's how most people act. Their emotions and no logic. Now, call me an idiot. I'll accept it. Go ahead. Call me an idiot. I'll wait for somebody to call me an idiot. Type it in chat. Call me an idiot. Proud idiot. Don't let your idiocy supersede mine. No, this is live, Chloe. Wait a minute. I don't even know if you're talking to me now, so I'm sufficiently pissed off. And I let that happen on purpose, I think. And it's, well, I let it come out on purpose. Here's another example of the problem in this world. People are always ready to tell everybody else how wrong they are and don't see their own wrong. I ain't stoned. Maybe that's part of my problem. We are coming up to the end of the hour, and I ain't sure that I'm done ranting and raving. I probably am before I piss off anybody else and be pissed off as I am. Just because I get tired of dealing with stupid people, you know? I ain't doing this for you or nobody else except for myself. I mean, if you don't want to listen, mute up. Go ahead. Just as soon as something doesn't coincide with your ideology of how things are, thank you, idiot, Grimner. But I do wear it well. Thank you. Yeah. You know, people are always trying to tell somebody else how to act, how to think, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Get over yourself. You ain't no different than me or anybody else. You're a little peon, piece of pile, piled up somewhere. Get over yourself. But, hey, I'm easily distracted, and I will just as easily admit to being an idiot. But when you call me an idiot, you make yourself the bigger idiot. Not you, Grimner. I mean, that was a generality. I asked you to call me an idiot, and you did. You know what? I have no idea how much time I've been recording with the stop and start, but I'm going to go back to my Facebook page here. It'll probably take a little while to scroll through all this, but I'm going to include this stuff because I was telling you what I was telling Cowboy Tech over on the Freedoms Network site, what it is that I was talking about. I was talking about it when I'm not talking about it, but what I'm alluding to. And this is so convoluted, didn't it? And Hal nails it down so very well on the stalking horse, stakeholders. So I'm waiting on Hal and I touched base with him a little earlier this week, and when I was sick, oh my God, I thought I was dying. But anyways, we're going to bring the Libra code. Oh, yes, least I forget. I do not want to forget this part. So before I go to that, let's go talk about, as soon as this thing catches up for me over here, let me go back and thank you, Barbara, I was talking about you earlier. My academic intelligent friend, one of my my markers on the map in exploration. So my my page is off. The computer's all froze up over here. It's as frustrated as I am, but I think I've got that out of my system. People just give no crap. Wait. Why am I blinking? I don't know. Let me. Somebody said Vinny RLM radio, obviously. Donna Quitt, Cowboy Tech, you communicate well. Thank you. Thank you, Cowboy. I don't know how well I communicate. Yeah, like I said, I'm doing this for me, for myself, and I appreciate those that join along in the journey. I've dubbed this a voyage of discovery a very long time ago. But like I said, it does piss me off sometimes how people are so presumptuous. It really does. And of course, all this crap's going to freeze up, but I'm not going to leave this out. And this is maybe it'll be ready to go next week. This is on the Libra code, and Hal has covered this in the past. It's a six-part series, 12-hour long, so I want to present it 1 week at a time. And I'm not going to tell you all my plans for travel because every time I do, I never make them through. So, la-di-da, I'll know what I've done after I've done it. But anyways, wow, I got tagged a lot on here. My whole page is full of other folks stuff, which is good because that's I do encourage that. I'm afraid it's going to take me a minute to catch this up. It's warming up. It's got a real pretty day out, and here directly I'm gonna get to it. That to being out in the, and this is obviously going to be down a ways, and it's going to take me a little bit to get to it, I think. I'm about ready to start peeling this sweatshirt off. Warmed up in here sufficiently. You know, let me digress. I really appreciate what you share with me, but it does frustrate me because of my inadequacies to convey the information, especially in type. It's just, I'm not a writer. I'm a paraphraser and a plagiarist. But I admit to it, so I think that negates that. This is frustrating. Again, trying to get this computer to cooperate. And Facebook pisses me off pretty much anyways on how they do things. I think they do shit on purpose to make you frustrated, discourage you. Like, if I wanted to, before when I would share rlmradio.xyz, they would say, oh, yeah, it says wait. It would say, we're not sure about this site, you know. Thank God for truth algorithms, huh? We got somebody there to protect us. Who will implement this protection in an anarchal communist society? Who will implement it? You're missing the point if you don't understand the ideology. And anytime an implication is put into place, then you've lost the whole idea. So I'm coming to it. Thank you, Barbara Ackerson. And she gave me some information that I really enjoy, and I'm waiting for this to be able to move a little bit where I can get to it. So in my post, it looks like to be truncated, but talking about the presentation of the Libra code from Hal Anthony from Behind the Woodshed, I'm waiting for this thing to unstick. Hey, there's my niece just posted something and I missed what it was. Waiting for the Seymour to open. But Barbara says that she was reminded by TRMS about something studied long ago during the election of 1867. And that was, this thing will open for me where I can see it. There it is. And it was the election in 1867. The Democrat both won the popular vote and the Electoral College, but it was the Republican Hayes who became POTUS. Why? It was because the Democrats traded the election for the military and the Reconstruction leaving the South, and so it ended. So I say, or was it completed? Question mark, question mark. So coming in a week or two, I say, I will be running a six-week series on the Libra Code from Hal Anthony from Behind the Woodshed. And in comment, I'll have to make sure these things open up. View one more reply, and I'll click that, and then it'll say, you want to view one more reply? Stupid Facebook. But anyways, excellent. I say to her in her share to me, it indicates, well, what can be expected for protesters declared to be enemies of the state? And that is the dark side of the Libra Code. What is that? Cheneyite jurisprudence from antiwar.com. And I want to open that and read some. And like I said, oh, now it says, wait, thank you. And like I said, frustrating. And I guess this is my maple syrup computer. Come on. Let me see this. It's going to make me wait. Anticipation. It's not even going to let me open that link. Until this thing decides it wants me to. It says wait. Yes, I'll wait. Thank you. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So this is not Christmas music, is it?
This is a getting special Christmas.
What does Christmas mean anyways? Mass. The death of Christ. I'm not a traditional Christian. Is provocated by this? Put from the pulpit, no profit. There's lots of profit in it, though, isn't there? This thing right here is really preventing me from entertaining the information thus in contained. Maybe if I talk in a funny voice. Hey, you talk funny. It's making me wait. It's making me wait. So I think that my computer is trying to tell me it's had enough. I don't know if y'all have, but I do want to talk about the Libra Code because we're not waiting for martial law or not. We shan't expect martial law in the future because we have been indeed under martial law this entire time. I wish this thing would let me open that. At least I could read from that. Even if I can't complete the post from Barbara. let me just pause this recording while I all right, unpaused. Now I can complete this. Maybe I should just start again. If I try to scroll, it probably freaks me up again. Maybe I'll just continue. Completed in parentheses in response to my response of it was completed, talking about the Libra Code. Completed is a possibility, says Barbara, especially when dealing with politicians. Yes, I will wait, please. What a great deceptive victory that would be to offer a barter product as valid and only obtainable and it's jumping on me, only attainable through an exchange of equal value when it was the plan all along to give it to him for free. So she says she's reading through this article and not finished yet, but perhaps you haven't seen this and would like to wade through it as well, she says to me, and indeed I do. And it is excellent and it indicates, well, what can be expected for the protesters? We saw the rules of engagement. Today is the rules of war betrayed. because we should certainly expect that there would be some type of order in the way we go about this protesting of our incarceration in the open air prison. I've derailed myself again, certainly, of course, but I guess I'll go over here. What? Oh, yes, the Lavoie Finicum being murdered. Let me go back over here. Let me just go back about what I'm not talking about and what I'm talking about, and in responding to Cowboy Tech in my post over at the Freedoms Network. Well, that was a mistake, it looks like, because it's going to take it a while. That's going to take it a while, isn't it? It ain't going to let me. Yes, it is. There it is. So, being the best idiot I can be, all part of the plan, I think. But you know what's said of mice and men and how theirs is best laid. Cowboys, Texas, I hope I make it sound simple. And is an idiot not a simpleton? I'm not a smart man, but I know what an idiot is. So in this presentation today of the Rules of War Betrayed, we might have took note of the occupation by trespass and protest being the role of the American way. So what am I not talking about and what I'm talking about? Again, I will say this again. I said it before. I'm talking about the Bundy and the death of the Bundys and the death of the Lavoie Finicum. Also talking about the first Patriots and the rebellion against the crown. Also talking about Rosa Parks, and I'm talking about Standing Rock and on and what truly makes America great. You know, I was saying this earlier, but I'll say it again. And I'm talking about why I'm thankful to live here in America. I'm talking about why it is never okay for the government to take up arms against Americans in a peaceful protest. Or any other place in the world for that matter, because what matters is worldwide. I'm talking about how legal is corrupted as law. It's codified corruption and cronyism. I'm talking about government as a servant as opposed to it as it now stands, its master to the people. I'm talking about this because when the future asks who spoke up, it will be me. It will be you and everyone else that have given the answer, whether it be voiced or silence. Oh, yeah. The treaties, there are several. That's in response to Loud Voice in Texas. He gets it. Thanks, Ronnie. And I'll give you mention now and my thanks for you're inciting me to respond as I did. The Darker Side of the Libra Code, or Cheneyite Jurisprudence, from Todd E. Pierce, April the 7th of 2014. That was following the 150th anniversary of Libra Code, and it was celebrated by the International Humanitarian Law of War community in 2013, for the embryonic role of the code that the code played in the development of the law of war. Now, war and law has been the theme and feedback these last, which would this actually be 13th episode, but it's a plus one. Continuing, but while issuing Libra Code is often credited as a founding of law of war, in fact, Lieber's code is more correctly to be seen as the martial law regulations growing or governing all of the non-Confederate states, the northern states, during the latter half of the Civil War. While it put into the form of a military order previously existing humanitarian customary law of war principles, that was not in its primary purpose. Lieber's code was issued as General Order Number 100 in 1863 by the War Department as instructions for the government of armies of the United States in the field. Francis Lieber was tasked with preparing it by General Halleck following the proclamation of martial law by President Lincoln on September the 24th of 1862. General Order 100 is described by the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School Alumni Association as the directive. General Order Number 100, known as the Liber Code, outlined the Federal Army Code of Conduct during the war, as well as the institution of martial law. You understand, it's not been repealed, right? Worried about martial law coming. This is how adjunct policy by the police is set. Look at what they're doing up in Standing Rock, blowing people's arms off, spraying them down with water. You think that's right? You think that's good? You think that's legal or is it lawful? What? All right, let me go on. General Order 100 is described by the. I read that. Did I? Yeah. The directive. General Order 100. Yeah, outlined by the Federal Army Code of Conduct during the war, as well as the institution of martial law, right? It would later become the basis for all international treaties. Remember, treaties supersede the law of the land in the legal establishment of the corporate body of the United States, including also the Hague Convention in 1927 and the Geneva Accord of 1954. The focus for the anniversary was on the embryonic role of Liber's Code in the development of international law of war. Most of Liber's Code, however, with its antiquated statement of the law of war, has been superseded by the Geneva Convention and other international human rights and law of war treaties. Nonetheless, special events celebrating this anniversary were held, some sponsored by the U.S. government. That the United States government should be enthusiastic for Liber's Code is not remarkable in the light of legal arguments the government has made that the government has made since 2001, beginning with legal opinions issued by attorneys in the Office of Legal Counsel, such as John Yoo, Robert Dallahunty, and Jay Bybee. The military arrest of civilians and the offenses charged in the military commissions during the second half of the Civil War were governed by General Order 100. But with few exceptions, they were offenses under the martial law that had been decreed, not war crimes. In modern use of the term, or under international law, even though these martial law practices of the Civil War were repudiated at the end of the war by the Supreme Court. I don't think that's right. In Ex parte Milligan, where they were described by Justice Fields as martial rule, they have been idealized and argued as precedent by U.S. government officials in current military commission, and even as authority for global drone attacks by the U.S. Don't think that this is not, that it has been done away with. Don't think that we're not under martial law. Don't think that we're waiting for martial law. The fact that they can come up and do what they do, come to your house even. Yeah, you're under martial law. Continuing, Brigadier General Mark Martin's military commissions of chief prosecutor takes pains to defend military commissions under what Justice Field termed martial rule as precedent for current military commissions and from charges that they are un-American. He and other military commissions prosecutors have even coined a phrase to describe these martial law cases as U.S. domestic common law of war. According to commissions prosecutions, the Civil War of martial law offenses are equally as acceptable to civilian capture on the other side of the world from the U.S. in the 21st century as they were 150 years ago in U.S. territory under U.S. Army martial law. In making these arguments, U.S. officials take a principle of law of war that only applies to a nation's domestic territory within its own boundaries, and deceitfully mistake the legal principle undergirding martial law and the law of war as well. From commentators of Civil War times, such as Colonel William Winthrop, instead of principals themselves, stated correctly, prosecutors seem to prefer relying on Abraham Lincoln's historical standing as well as our historical mystification of the Civil War to put this legal history and their applications of it above any criticism or analysis. Let me see here. Okay, good. I thought I lost myself. Continuing. An example is that one enthusiast for Civil War era law of war who put it this way on a website which routinely calls for a trade-off of constitutional rights for national security. Boy, what did Ben have to say about that? The American Civil War remains perhaps surprisingly, perhaps even astonishingly, a well of constitutional experiences in forming this nation's sense of law and legitimacy throughout the conflict set off by 9/11. It is the deeper well to which this country returns again and again in seeking to marry security and law. Notwithstanding that it took place 150 years ago on American and not foreign soil and spilt the blood only of Americans, not also of foreigners in faraway places in Central Asia and the Middle East, its invocation in debates over law and conflicts today is not merely the ritual of calling upon the nation's icons, but instead a live source of law, legal precedent, state practice, and custom. It might surprise the commentator above to know 150 years of legal development has taken place since the Civil War, both in human rights law and in international humanitarian law. The law of war, but it probably wouldn't alter his thought. He's not alone in hearkening back to the Civil War as a hallowed period of our history, which it was with the overthrow of slavery. In every other regard, it was still the 1860s, and Lincoln presided over the ongoing ethnic cleansing of the Native Americans. Think this isn't being done today? Still? What? Go back to the early 1900s in the sterilization of the Aboriginal Americans. Continuing. No, there were northern states, nor were the northern states free of racism either, both towards the African Americans, but also towards Jewish Americans as well, and other minorities. Some caution may be in order before looking to the Civil War for legal precedents, regardless of who was president. Lincoln was a racist, for certain. Yeah, he only freed the slaves just as punishment, and don't think that the Civil War was ever about slavery. All thrown in a sideline. This article continues. And I will leave it to you, the listener, to read further if you'd like. So I guess I've been running here about 3 hours, but it's not what is going to show up in audio. And again, I can't be pissed off enough to be so rudely interrupted by someone who knows I'm doing radio and stands lurking at my door waiting to borrow a fork. Hey, I see you over there. I hit. You see why. But anyways, I think I'm going to wrap it up. And let me come over here. So I've got a lot of stuff to do this differently. I did it ass backwards last time. But I want to compress the after I save the Audacity file, then I'm going to want to compress it, do the tags, all that good stuff that Grimner and his infinite patience with an idiot as such as myself can shows. So thank you, Grimner, for your wisdom. And did that post? Why didn't it post? I might be even kicked out of here. Huh. I'm not sure. It may be that I'm not. I'll drop it in here as Vinny RLM Radio. It's because I think my other one knocked me out. Or I got knocked out of it, it appears. So, yeah, let me apologize for my rude behavior. But for me personally, I find it, I'm very intolerant of intolerance and rude behavior and sometimes respond in like manner. Yeah, that's what happens. And I did fall off. I can see there on the up here on RLM Radio and chat where Lewis Grassrope with Kira interrupted in between the rules of war betrayed. So, oh, it looks like it had been knocked off more than once. Anyways, hopefully this is not going to mess Grimner up. No, I'm not knocked off over there as Vinny, because I'm here twice. Let me do a check. Why didn't it post it? There it posted. Oh, it came along kind of late, so whatever. There it is. Let me wrap up. Let me remind you, stick around for Freaker Friday. Coming up later, we got Miss Mary and Graham's on her rocket chair coming up at 6 p.m. Central Time for a couple of hours. Then I'm thinking A-Tracks, not A-Tracks, not cassette, not reel-to-reel, but the real A-Tracks is going to be playing some pretty cool music. Some people think it's weird, but hey, that dude's got a style that I'd never heard before, and I appreciate it. Followed, of course, by our flagship broadcast on reallibertymedia.com, the Freakers Ball, y'all, with Grimner and Moose Girl. And again, I learn a lot over here between UCY.TV and Real Liberty Media, the chatters. I'm sometimes challenged to think more better. And sometimes I'm challenged in how I think I want to respond. I ain't no different than you. You can piss me off just as quick as I can piss you off. Please don't presume to think for me or to assume that you know what I'm thinking. I think that probably pisses me off more than anything. So thank you for that, Beth. I guess you're not listening, or if you are, you're incognito because you claimed you wasn't going to be. Anyways, I guess. Hey, who is this? Demon Anon. I guess they're warming up. He's looking for Demon A-Trax. Dude, he ain't on yet. He'll be here in, five and a half hours. 5.5 hours. I think I've ranted sufficiently enough. I don't want to go back into another diatribe. But anyways, here you go, folks. Thanks for listening, and I'm going to kill this recording. And I want to remind you, downstream, come on back to reallibertymedia.com. Join in the chat. Some smart people in there, maybe so smart that they piss me off sometimes. So yeah, there. Thanks, Java Doctor. He's helping that failure find himself. All right. And yeah, so where I've lacked a show today, my apologies to myself, and that's who I have to answer to, is myself. Anyways, maybe I'll learn some lessons for myself in this, and I'm gonna kill it. We'll see you guys next week. Whether we've got Hal ready for the beginning, the first broadcast or rebroadcast, actually, because it's not available in the ether, but we're going to bring that and make it possible that you can follow the lessons from Hal Anthony behind the woodshed. Yeah, lessons sometimes hurt. So that lesson, I hope that I might learn a little more for myself, that I did not continually express today, that hope and big love. And let's be the change in yourself that you'd like to see in the world. But, you know, don't worry. We all fall short. Pick up the pieces and put it back together again and again and again. Now, if that's what it takes, then we just got to keep going till we get her done right. All right. This is Vincent Easley II. For What Matters Worldwide, this has been Feedback. This has been an episode plus one. And we're going to do a plus two, and then I'll round out the series with episode 13. Peace, yo. Thank you, cowboy. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Chloe, wait. I got this in the way. Let me move this out of the way. Let me just say to the live listeners, thank you. Asmo, Barman, or Bess Z, I think she turned me off. Cowboy Tech, Grimner, the great and mighty. Kate, Trust No One, Beetle, Chalcedony, Circle Low, Chloe again, Flash Droid, brother, love you, man, and you two circles, y'all are awesome. Grams is at work, and Don B is also at work, Java Doctor and Java Doctor 2, RLM9164, one of our Anons in there listening. Rob Works, me a couple of times, Vin Nee, Cold Facts, Jehovah One, Wanataku, Kuzu, is it time? There's MM Bot, Demon Anon, and Specialized. Thank you, Grimner. Yo, peace. We'll see you next time.